like scary movies and watered-down true crime? Then this is the podcast for you. We've been best friends for almost 30 years, and we've been getting high while watching movies together for most of it. Now we want to share that with you. So pour your white wine on ice and prepare your bud any way you choose. Because what would be girls' night without a little THC? Welcome back to another episode of THC, True Hollywood Crime. I'm your host, Mariah. This is your host, Bailey.
And I'm declaring tonight's episode a bestie episode.
Yeah.
The vibes are very bestie.
I totally feel that.
Mm-hmm. So yay.
I told Lou about your text message that you sent me, which was, okay, should I read it out loud for the for the group?
I don't even know which text message.
The one from earlier today.
Okay.
You had texted me. And I read it for my husband. Hi, just wanted to check in and make sure we're still, that you still want to podcast. If so, how drunk should we get? Bestie blackout to avoid the feelings? Or do you want to be a responsible human and deal with the pain and emotions? And I read that to Lou, and Lou's like, oh, why? Because you guys have to deal with your whole, like, your best friends and you're not lesbians. And because of the case this week. And I'm like, no, no, I think she's talking about my dad, actually.
Yeah, no,
like,
we're talking about real feelings. But no, that's funny, because then I immediately followed it up with that TikTok about us being like platonic or whatever. Like, either one of us is ever single, I'm for sure convincing the other one to murder the remaining husband so that we could live together happily ever after. So he's not wrong. But also.
That is so funny. Anyways, so what's going on?
I surprisingly have a ton of past pod news.
Wow.
So, and then some ridiculous reviews. And then outside of that, life, like we just discussed in the car, has kind of just been a blur.
Yep. We're just keep on swimming, keep on trucking.
Yeah.
I will start things off with something exciting for you, B. My client just told me this today because we were talking horror movies and we were talking birthdays and we were talking all kinds of stuff. Do you know when Jason Voorhees' birthday is?
Friday the 13th.
Of what month?
October.
No.
January.
No.
No.
Him and my son Wyatt share a birthday. It's June 13th.
God damn it. If that child does not let us have a Friday the 13th, Camp Crystal Lake birthday.
You can throw him whatever birthday you want next year.
For the birthday, because it's going to be.
It's going to be his golden birthday.
Yeah.
So he's going to turn 13 on Friday the 13th, which is June 13th, which is Jason Voorhees' birthday. It's amazing.
I'm sick to my stomach. How did the stars align?
I don't know. It's amazing. And in case anyone wants to know, Jason was born in 1946, making him 66 years older than Wyatt.
I was going to say, wow. Okay.
So that would put him in his, what, 70s now? Wyatt's turning 12. So anyways.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's a real fun fact.
Yeah. I was really excited to hear that today.
Yeah. Okay.
I even Googled it because she told me. I'm like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And then I immediately Googled it while she was processing.
I really thought you were going to tell me for a minute like that that wasn't his actual birthday.
Oh.
And that that's only the day that he like comes back like Jesus, right? Yeah, like that's his Easter.
Yeah. No, that's his birthday. Okay, June 13th. Because
I mean, I've raised my child, right? She 46. Knows that that's a holiday.
Of course. But yeah, I just have a bunch of random stuff like that. I don't have any real reviews or anything. Well, so we can just go back and forth.
Let's keep it on the random fun train then. Why not pick it up with some upbeat happy shit before we just really get into it? Children race to collect marshmallows dropped from a helicopter at a Detroit area park.
Oh, were they supposed to be dropped from a helicopter?
Yeah, I guess they do it annually. And fantastic. So all these kids rush to the park and thousands of marshmallows get dropped.
Sounds like so much fun.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
The smell?
Yeah.
Fresh park.
The feeling of them?
Yeah.
Do you ever see those TikToks where they're putting scoops of candy into a bucket to make like a candy mix?
No.
Anyways, it's great ASMR. And the marshmallows are always the best ASMR. The sound of them hitting the tote.
So speaking of like the ASMR and like the sounds, they also do a sensory one, like a separate day for those kids where it's totally different. So And then I guess they get like little candy bags that they get to.
Fantastic.
I thought that was sweet, right? Yeah. Coming off of Easter and all that shit, why not drop some marshmallows from the sky and have some joy? Okay.
For Easter, I picked Kai up on our longstanding tradition of watching zombie movies on Easter.
And so I played
my 13-year-old for the first time, watched Dawn of the Dead.
Incredible. And
enjoyed it.
Yeah. What's not to enjoy?
What's not to like? Nope. They got it. They really liked it. It was a good time.
What a time to be alive.
And they 110% was on. I can't remember her name, but she was like, yeah, of course she's going to go back and get that dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, of course. Of course. She's like, of course I'm going back and getting that dog. She's like, that's the only real person in this whole damn movie is her going back for the dog.
Any other life updates as far as like kids, baseball?
No.
Work.
Baseball updates. We keep getting our asses kicked.
Oh, that's a bummer.
We have to work on that.
Okay. Well, there you go.
No, it's all right. It's a good time. It's Little League.
What dessert did you end up having for Easter? I don't even know. Because you couldn't make the dessert you wanted.
No, I bought a cake. A chocolate cake. The pressure's on. I'm like, what did I do? I don't know. I think I just got a chocolate cake.
Okay.
Chocolate. Yeah. Just chocolate on chocolate.
Can't
and then
wrong.
I got like croissants or something for the morning, I think. Croissants.
I want to do all the fancy croissants that people are doing. There's like a creme brulee croissant.
Ooh.
And then there's the cookie croissant.
What is that?
Just store-bought croissant and store-bought cookie dough, but you like smash the two together and then you stick that in the oven so the cookie bakes into the croissant.
I guess so. It doesn't interfere with the croissant rising.
Well, I think the croissant just toasts and then the cookie like fuses into it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Because I don't think you're cooking the cookie like all the way. You're cooking it enough to like kind of just like make it gooey.
All right.
To go with the croissant.
I believe you.
Right.
I have a real problem with cookie dough nowadays.
Oh, when did that happen?
This past year when I finally started to key into what was going on.
Ooh.
If you pay attention, all of our beloved, at least all the ones in the stores near me, are rolls of cookie dough and even like the bites, you know, they started squaring them off. They just haven't tasted the same as they did growing up. And if you pay attention, now they're making it safe to be eaten raw or baked. And I feel like it's changed the cookie dough.
I'm sure it has.
And I'm really fucking upset about it.
Yeah, of course. No. Everything's different. All the recipes from when we were kids have been completely thrown out and substituted with all this weird bullshit to accommodate food allergies. And
I just make ones that are edible and make ones that aren't safe.
Leave it up to us.
I want the non-safe.
And they're like, well, then make it yourself.
I know, but it's sometimes homemade cookie dough is good, but sometimes it's not as good as a roll of Pillsbury cookie
dough. I'm with you, girl.
We Nestle Toll House.
How many rolls kept us alive during our childhood years?
Yeah.
That and biscuits, we would have never survived high school.
So, although we didn't eat those raw. But yeah, I look out for that on the packaging, everybody. Edible cookie dough. Get out of here.
You know what else you need to be on the lookout for? Fleeing pigs.
Oh.
Utah police officer dive tackles a fleeing pig. Apparently, a group of pigs had been on the loose for several days and were causing quite the ruckus. And so one person caught it like on their Ring cam. This officer literally having to tackle the pig in its driveway.
What a terrible fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
So to way be a police officer.
Way to go.
Pig on pig crime. That's what that is.
There was an eclipse.
Yeah, kind of. Not for us. There was.
Why are
in
they
other
special?
Parts of the country there were
why
an eclipse.
Is an eclipse so exciting? Like, I feel like it's happened a few times in my lifetime. Like, I don't feel like it's a once in a lifetime.
No. It's not. It's if it's going to happen in your area or not.
Okay.
Because I can only remember a couple of full eclipses in our lifetimes. But Yeah, I don't know.
My mom did leave me a voice message, I guess, like 2042 or something. It will be in our area.
Yeah, it's in like 20 years.
Mm-hmm. So, woohoo!
Something to live for, everybody. Don't just give up yet. Keep living.
Well, so, because I don't care about the eclipse at all, but I was trying to find news. Apparently, people flocked to Pornhub during the eclipse. There was like a huge increase in views, and the majority of the searches had something to do with the eclipse. So here's some of my favorites.
Oh God.
Total eclipse of my dick.
Stupid.
An orgasmic eclipse. Let's see here. Eclipse karma.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Which eclipse? Like, these are what people, like, the type of videos people are.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just thought it was great that they had, like, a huge increase. So, either you were outside trying to burn out your eyeballs or you inside looking for some freaky shit on the internet.
I guess so. I would have never, ever thought to do that.
Hey, it was on TMZ.
Okay, I know. I just would have never thought to, like, look up. I wonder if they, so that makes me wonder if those people always look up categories on Pornhub according to
like it happens all the time. Events. Mm-hmm, maybe.
Like maybe during Christmas, they're looking up like Christmas porn.
Yeah. And maybe they like put crystals up their hoo-haws and charge it by the full moon. Who knows?
I don't feel like those people are the same people on Pornhub. I feel like that's two different groups of people.
Okay. That's fair.
All right. Two pieces of sadder news.
Meow.
Rest in peace to Drop Dead Fred. Rick Mayall.
I didn't hear about this.
He passed away.
Fuck. Have your kids even ever seen the movie?
I think when Kai was really little.
Okay.
But that was my favorite movie growing up.
Oh my God. The spider webs. Yeah.
Drop Dead Fred was my number one favorite movie growing up.
Such a good movie. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to have Nick find it for me.
Yep. Rest in peace, Rick. And then rest in peace to Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher's marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the big D word.
That one was a bit surprising, but then I guess after it broke, people were like, oh no, it wasn't a surprise. Like,
like all the people who know them personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
I know. I liked them together.
Yeah. And then, well, no, there's like shit in Rebel Wilson's book about him being an asshole or something.
I mean, it's not surprising, is it?
Yeah.
Do I have anything else? I feel like that's it, but I don't have any reviews. However, I'm hoping to have some next week because there's some pretty good documentaries out that I'm excited to watch.
Okay. Let's see. I think that was it for my stupid, silly, upbeat news.
Oh, All Your Animals on TikTok. Has Finn the giraffe came across your...
No, I have no giraffes. I have a little boy and a cat.
Mm-hmm.
The cat has the best personality ever. Like, you'd think it was a stuffed animal. Like, it's the kid's ragdoll.
Yeah.
They're incredible. What else came up?
Well, you have to look up Finn the baby giraffe.
Oh, a baby giraffe.
He's very, very cute. So, and they use that, I don't know how to describe it, but that one voiceover, like, you'll just have to see it. He's so cute. He's the best.
Oh, OJ died.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing about that, but I thought it was fucked up and funny as hell that people sent so many condolences to Khloe Kardashian. Like, that girl just cannot get a break with that shit.
Good. I think she might be a terrible person.
Oh my God, that shit cracked me up. So thanks, internet. I really needed that laugh. Okay.
Yeah, that's really, really funny.
So yeah, other than this, I've got past pod news and then reviews. Do you want to break it with some horror trivia?
Sure.
Right?
Sounds like a plan, Stan.
Because we don't have too much of a...
I have about three sentences worth of a case.
I don't even know how you found this shit. I'm excited to do it, but it's... I'm like, you blew my mind with this one. All right, let me get myself situated.
In all fairness, it does pop up when you look up movies based on true crime.
For sure. Again, shocking. Never heard of it.
So I've heard of the movie. I've never seen it.
Nope. Never heard of it.
Heard of the movie.
Why? Why would you hear of it?
I don't know why. I'm sorry. You have so many horror movies on at once tonight.
It was part of my bestie vibe. Wanted all of our friends here.
Yeah, good. Oh, I'm glad I wore Ghostface.
For real, though.
This is what I wore to work. You said that you wore it yesterday. This is the only thing I changed from work was my pants.
No. Uh-huh. I wore something very similar. I wore gray pants with my Ghostface.
I wore black and white It's almost like a, it's not quite a chevron pattern, but it's like a little.
Like a houndstooth?
Yeah, like a, yeah, it's a black and white houndstooth love pattern
it.
Pant. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Yeah, my gray pants had like a little plaid to it.
Look at us.
We're so cute. Again, bestie episode. So yeah, I got my Chucky socks. I got my Friday the 13th pajama bottoms. I got my Halloween top and I forgot my Freddy earrings. I had them laid out.
You're but a fucking failure, actually.
I know. I tried.
So are we doing trivia first? We're doing reviews first? What are we doing?
Well, we're going to do a trivia.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the main character who studies witchcraft in the TV show Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I mean, Willow. I don't know her last name. Rosen?
Oh.
Berg?
Yes! Willow Rosenberg.
Woo! I got it. Yay.
And, oh. Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay.
And then this one is a softball. Michael Myers' mask is supposedly based on what famous actor?
It's Spock, so it's William Shatner.
It is William Shatner, but he doesn't play Spock. He plays Captain Kirk.
Oh.
But whatever. Yeah. You got it right. Okay. William Shatner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That you'll get. Okay, this one you'll get. In Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, what is Jamie Lloyd's relationship to Michael?
She's not back to being his sister? No.
So Jamie Lee Curtis plays Jamie Lori. But
niece?
Yes. There we go. Right? Yeah, exactly. Niece. I know. Because they, Jamie.
I know.
Uh-huh. For sure.
Niece.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Oh, you got this one. Who is the host in Tales from the Crypt?
The Crypt Keeper.
Exactly.
Does he have an official name?
No, the Crypt Keeper.
I thought it was going to be like William A. Johnson,
Crypt Keeper. I bet you get this one too. It's Pass Pod. Based on the book written by Jay Anson, what 2005 Supernatural remake stars Ryan Reynolds and Melissa George?
Oh, of course, Amityville Horror House.
Yay! I'll drink to that. Woo!
Do this podcast. So much knowledge.
Hey-o.
Who wrote and directed A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Wes Craven.
And how many... Oh, God damn it. You gave me the easiest pile to ask you.
I took it off the top.
How many murderers are revealed at the end of the movie Scream?
10. No. Our favorite twosome. Well, I feel... Okay, there was one Scream. It could be a trick question. I feel like one Scream, there were like six.
No, it was just
the two. Scream. Yeah.
At the end of the 2001 film The Others, one of my favorites, what did the mother Grace figure out about herself and the children?
That they're dead.
Yeah, that they are the ghosts.
That they see dead people because they're dead.
That's right.
Oh, you'll get this. What is Norman Bates' hobby in Psycho?
Taxidermy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm all making human skin suits. That's Ed Gein.
And then what TV show remake is based on the 1985 movie starring Michael J. Fox as a high school basketball player?
Teen Wolf.
Yay! See?
Also my favorite movie growing up.
We watched it in the hospital right after I had Violet. She's like in the little thing. Mm-hmm. And I think I was eating a burger and drinking a coffee.
Yeah.
And we watched that and a Wanda Sykes special. It was like our first day as a family.
Dude, Teen Wolf is so good.
It's a little offensive.
Yeah. And he's a little hot as the wolf.
I mean, which come is on. Kind of weird. Come on.
I think it's the confidence.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that animalistic.
The animal magnetism. I know this one. I don't know if you're going to know this one. I had the displeasure of seeing this in the theater and regretted my choice. Shit.
Okay.
Set in 1630s New England, what 2015 movie involves an English farmer and his family who relocate to a forest which lurks an unknown evil?
Is it the Harry Potter movie? Is Daniel Radcliffe in it?
No. No.
Oh.
No, and this was a critically acclaimed. They said some people were saying the scariest movie ever made. Which is a fucking lie. They need to see more movies.
That's... I have no idea.
The Witch.
I don't think I saw that. I was thinking The Lady in Black.
Yes.
That's... Nope. I don't think I saw The Witch.
So The Witch was good
until...
if you weren't in it for a scary movie.
Okay.
Like, it's very dark. It's very atmospheric. It's very colonial.
Okay.
Which I like colonial shit.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great job of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual scary stuff, not that scary.
Of course.
The spoiler alert, everybody. The devil shows up in the end. And if I remember correctly, he's in like, I think you just see the bottom part of him and it's like pirate boots.
The movie's like, called The Witch. So, we see the devil.
So the main bad guy is a witch.
Okay.
But the devil shows up at some point because he's been a goat this whole time. And then he turns into the devil.
Right.
And then at the very end, they're all, I guess like the big scary climactic thing is these young people who have been, these young women who have been lured away by the witch are like, naked in the forest, like flying through the trees. And I'm like, that just looks like a good time. I mean, is this supposed to be scary, guys?
I love it.
And like, it must be scary to like maybe really religious people, you know?
Right.
But I'm not. So I'm like, yeah, that just sounds like a fun time in the forest.
Well, perfect. You just segued us into reviews then. Why not just continue talking about.
Oh, but this one's a really hard one too. All right,
give me.
Leatherface was a character in what horror film? Can you ever guess it?
The Babadook.
That's right. You gave me all the easy ones besides The Witch.
Violet's obsessed ever since I moved the Texas Chainsaw poster into the bedroom.
Oh.
It's no longer in the garage hiding in the darkness. It's
how romantic.
I know.
In the bedroom.
Uh-huh. She likes to read it. But yes. All right. Let's, you just, the Naked Witches reminded me of the movie that I watched last night.
Oh, perfect.
The cast and the description, like, you'd think it'd be a really good time, but we should have known better when, I think the Rotten Tomatoes, what is it? Like, the critics liked it, but the viewers didn't. And you're like, oh, shit. It's got Beanie Feldstein, so Jonah's little sister, and Pedro Pascal.
Love him.
Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
Matt Damon.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. And it's, let's see, how did they describe it? In search of a fresh start, two women embark on an impromptu road trip to Tallahassee. Things quickly go awry when they cross paths with a group of criminals along the way.
Okay. So is it supposed to be like a serious movie or a comedy? Is it a thriller?
It's like you would think it would be a comedy action.
Okay.
Like thriller.
Kind of like Zombieland.
Uh-huh.
Like all the things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's lesbian porn.
Oh, perfect.
Like not nothing even a little bit.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not even a little bit. Big time spoiler alert. If you have any interest in watching this movie, they get a car to go to Tallahassee. It's this girl who hasn't had sex in forever and this girl who has sex all the time.
Okay.
And in the car, they find a briefcase full of dildos.
Okay.
What they don't know is the dildos are elite. They are molds that Miley Cyrus took of like really famous people's dicks, but like politicians.
Is Miley Cyrus playing herself?
No, she's like.
Because that would be hilarious.
But no, the only time you I can't even describe it. The only time you see her is like in this hallucination type of like hippie flashback.
Who writes these movies?
Where she's making casts of these guys' dicks. And the most elite dildo dick of all is, of course, Governor Matt Damon's.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay.
But they fucking kill Daddy Pascal within the first 5 minutes.
Oh.
And then from there, like I said, other than that, I basically just gave you all the like crime action part of it, and it's just the girls fucking the rest of the way.
What a wild idea for a movie. Like, who comes up with this shit?
If you just read that description and like, even if you just saw the trailer and then you go and see it in a movie theater, I'd be looking around like, what the fuck am I on mushrooms?
You think that movie got released into a movie theater? Come on.
Matt Damon's in it.
Yeah, Matt Damon's in all kinds of shit.
So yeah, that was a big flop for me.
Yeah, of course it was. It sounds fucking terrible. You know what else is a flop is that joint. What's going on over there?
I don't know. I can't get it to light.
Did you roll it too tight?
I might have. Okay, let's do. This one was different. I really enjoyed it. Nick couldn't get into it. Drugstore June. Another huge cast. Esther Pavitsky, Bad Baby, Bobby Lee, Jackie Sandler, Miranda Cosgrove, Trevor Wallace, Haley Joel Osment, Bill Burr, and Beverly D'Angelo.
In all fairness, that's it's a lot of famous people, but I wouldn't call it like an A-list cast.
No, I know, but like if you put all these people together, you think you're going to get like an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I guess.
I liked it. Okay. It was definitely better than the last movie.
Okay.
But again, Nick couldn't get into it. And then Argyle.
Yes. This I want to know.
Okay. So Bryce Dallas Howard.
Who I love.
Mm-hmm. And flashback to our last episode, 109, Sam Rockwell. He was drunk Deputy Dixon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
It's exactly what you think you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a fun, maybe like a family, even like action adventure type of a thing. Mm-hmm. She's writing these mysteries and then things happen.
Rumor on the street is because people love to make her have even more jobs than she already does. People are saying that Taylor Swift secretly wrote this movie.
Why?
No idea. They just said it feels like her vibe. I have no clue why they think that.
Not once during this movie would I have thought, hey, I wonder if Taylor Swift had anything to do with it.
Now, I have told you the conspiracy theory that Taylor Swift wrote my favorite fan fiction, All the Young Dudes, right?
That makes more sense to me.
Well, listen to this now.
Oh, no.
This girl's got her ear to the streets. I'm not saying she wrote All the Young Dudes. What I'm saying is that she's heard the rumors.
She's playing into it.
Because, so, without going too far into it, you have, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, just fast forward. I've talked about it on like previous episodes. I don't want to go through the whole thing again. It's a Harry Potter fan fiction. But you have Sirius Black, who, of course, turns into a large black dog as his animagus. Anyone who's watched or read Harry Potter number 3 knows this, right? And you have Remus Lupin, who's a werewolf, so controlled by a full moon, correct?
Yep.
So this fan fiction's out. The rumor is that she's been writing it under a secret name, which even the name has 89 in it, which she's known for 1989. Now she did a sneak peek of her. She has an album coming out next week. And so she has like all the different collectors vinyl collections. Mm-hmm. And you can like choose if you want to buy vinyl, which color vinyl you want.
Okay.
And I guess they're all based off of like her songs off the albums. She has a song called Black Dog.
Ooh.
And the vinyl for Black Dog has a full moon on it.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, we're really leaning into this rumor here.
Oh, my gosh.
There's no way that's just a coincidence, is there?
Well, so my only other explanation is that the person who wrote it is a Swiftie. And like you said, she's playing into it. Why not bring on that attraction?
But that's what I'm saying is I don't think Taylor Swift wrote All the Young Dudes, but think she knows is playing into the rumor, because there's no way that you're putting those two things together.
Yeah, I mean, she rides around in popcorn carts. You can't put anything past her. She's capable of anything.
You want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
So this is supposed to be the Joe Alwyn breakup album, which is the guy she was with for 6 years.
Yeah.
And he's English.
Do you have any idea why they broke up? You thought for a minute like he had done something.
So the based on his reaction is that he cheated on her.
Yeah.
But who knows? Yeah. Sometimes shit just doesn't work out. Right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the date, because she's putting it out on, I think, the 19th, the 17th. It's coming up here soon. The point is that the day that she is releasing it is also the first day of the American Revolutionary War when we broke off from England. And that's funny.
Of course.
Isn't that funny?
Tell me that's not just some...
No, that's for sure on purpose.
Yeah.
And I think that's hilarious.
No, you can't put anything past her.
Who knows? Maybe she wrote All the Young Dudes in all of her spare time. She wrote a fucking long ass fan fiction.
Okay, let's see. Was that all of my Reviews? Are we finally back to past pod news?
Past pod news.
Okay.
Look at all the black ink you wasted of your company's ink.
Oh, and feel the paper.
Oh.
It's good paper. Fuck them.
Bees all, you know what? I'm actually going to waste all your resources.
As much as I can every day. In a flashback to episode 96, kidnapping survivor Elizabeth Smart is putting her traumatic past behind her as she soaks up the sun during her Palm Springs getaway as she celebrates the, what is it, the 21st anniversary of her.
Whoa, it's been that long.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Mm-hmm. Good for her.
And really, the 21st anniversary of her rescue. And really, all the article was just how she's thriving. Love she's it. Got these children, and she's living her best life. And she's like, fuck you guys. You can't break me.
Love it.
So, cheers to her. Get
cheers
a girl.
To her. Get Have a girl. You been to Palm Springs?
No.
I want to go so bad.
Is it in California?
Yes. It is.
Is it like...
It's in the desert.
Is it like Coachella-y?
I feel like it, but like old people.
Yeah.
And like kind of old money.
Okay.
But it's very like kitschy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm down.
Me too.
Let me wear some flamingos and drive around in a golf cart.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yes. This mm-hmm. is the vibe.
You know what's not the vibe? Episode 44. Chris Watts' murder house is up for sale in Colorado. And I guess like in a weird fucking twist, it's like one of the more expensive houses on the block. Mm. Like, really, you guys? You're gonna hike up the price on this house?
Yeah.
Episode 108, we've got an Amanda Knox update. Apparently, they're still trying to take her back to court.
What? About what this time?
The slander against
Lumbaba. Back against the slander? Mm-hmm. I feel like at this point, can't we all just agree that we've said some things we regret? And we've decided to move on.
Okay. But again, here we are 20 years like after the fact.
That's wild.
And she's like, she's not afraid. She's like, I'm not afraid to return. I'm not afraid to defend myself. I was unprepared then. I am not now. Okay, and now Amanda. She's a mom.
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck it. I'll show my daughters. Fight the man.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So
fight the Italian man.
And I guess this is set to take place coming up in June during our anniversary episode.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Can you give you guys live updates?
Episode 39, the Slender Man stabber who tried to kill her friend when she was 12. One of the two, mm-hmm. right? She is trying to get released and they're like, absolutely not.
Oh.
That they know she's not ready because she... doesn't have the ability to like trust her own reality and self-appraisal.
How interesting.
Mm-hmm. And so if the person is not able to have the insight into their own mental health condition, they can't see warning signs or do anything. Yeah. So there's that.
Fantastic.
Gypsy Rose has been busy. Do you know anything?
No. The last thing I saw was forever ago when she first got out. And someone was criticizing how her husband looked, and she was basically like, fuck them, because the dick is good, and I love you, and...
Not anymore.
They did a divorce?
Yep.
Good for her.
For real, though. No, she is about to fucking go off. So, I swear to God, since we last recorded, she had separated, started rekindling with the ex-fiance prior to him.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to tell me the guy who killed her mom. No. I was like, the love story of the ages.
No, while she was in prison.
Yes. I think that's the guy who I originally saw pictures of.
Uh-huh. And they went and got tattoos together.
Okay.
But they're not together. They're just hanging out.
Really good friends.
Yeah. And then, I don't know what came first, but she got her nose done.
Okay.
And then I think she filed for divorce. So girl's been busy. Like, she's fucking getting it.
And she's still filming a documentary, I'm sure.
And, like, during all this, she traveled to New Orleans. Like, she's getting it. She's getting it done.
Yeah.
Live that life, girl.
You go, Gypsy. That's not her, is it?
Yeah.
Why does she look like that?
Because that's what she posted to Instagram. That's her nose job.
Her nose?
Yeah.
But that picture is wild.
Yeah. She's just like, you might not hear from me for a while because, you know, this happened. And then we haven't done an episode about it, but we've talked about it so often. The infamous child killer who broke into the slumber party and took Polly Klaas in Petaluma.
They haven't made a goddamn movie about it. I keep waiting.
I know. Well, so that's what I'm saying. I figure it's still worth noting. So Richard Davis, now 69, sentenced to death for the murder of Polly. He's trying to fucking use California's shitty laws to be all like, well, you guys are no longer using like lethal injections or whatever. And mm-hmm. he thinks that his case needs to be tried and blah, 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 blah. So long story short, the fucking piece of shit is trying to get his death sentence overturned because he thinks it's not fair.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
So fuck him. And right. here's to hoping he still dies one way or the other.
For real. Fuck that guy.
So that was it.
All right. That is a lot of past pod news.
Right?
Like, and listen, writers, producers, directors at Lifetime, if you're hearing this, can you please make a Polly Klaas movie?
We need a Polly.
I mean, how much more of a movie do you want when somebody gets taken from a slumber party
at her own home?
That is a wild
case.
Where
do you feel the safest?
Yes.
Like,
oh dear. Okay, let's refill on the ice, refill on the wine.
And talk about the actual case? Okay,
fine. Okay. And if you want to play along to our THC drinking game at home, take a drink of whatever you're drinking, even if it's just water. Anytime we mention a past episode of THC, mention a badass big sister, mention our favorite show, Monk, if we spill something, if we cheers, or if we finish each other's sentences. Bonus drink for y'all when you hear us name the episode, because we don't know what we name it until I edit it. We're gonna finish off this bottle. Oh, maybe not. Hold on, I gotta catch up here.
Love it.
There we go. That's the end of the bottle. Fantastic. Cheers. Here's to episode 110.
We did it.
Tonight's episode is about the murder of Honora Reaper.
Mm-hmm. Reaper.
Reaper. And what movie did you watch, Bailey?
Heavenly Creatures, 1994.
Yeah. Directed by Peter Jackson, which is a big deal.
Okay, help me. Oh, it's the biggest deal. I make note of it for yes. sure. 1994 for us.
Fourth grade.
So how old are we?
Currently?
Eight?
Or in fourth grade?
No, eight.
Nine.
Because
you're 10 and 5th, 11th and 6th.
Okay. Okay.
Is that important?
Well, yeah, just because, like, again, never heard of it. Mm. When we get to the cast, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to, like, piece where I am when all of this is going.
Yeah, I think 94, I'm definitely watching Jurassic Park every day on VHS.
We're up to Jurassic Park 3.
Oh my God.
And she wants to watch Jurassic Park. Yes. She's got the Jurassic Park bug.
Yeah.
It's happening. It's happening, you guys. If you've been on this journey with us, it's happening. My daughter finally likes to watch Jurassic Park.
Incredible. What a day. My daughter likes to watch ancient old fucking Disney cartoon from the 1930s.
The Popeyes and shit.
Yeah, but it's all the Disney. And you're like, what?
They're all smoking.
All smoking.
And all the women are whores.
Like, womanizing. Like, you're just super racist. You're like, what are we watching? I mean,
to be fair, the best.
It's so crazy. Yeah, she loves it. It's on Disney Plus. All right. I got everything from an article on All Things Interesting and an article on New Zealand history. Although I think it might be nzhistory.gov.nz.
That's convenient. That's helpful. I appreciate that.
Are you ready?
I am.
For all 2 pages of my notes.
Okay. Let's go.
Just kidding.
Can you do it in an accent?
I wish. Are you ready? I can't do a New Zealand accent.
I can't do any accents.
I know Australians always like, it's like an upspeak. It's like they're asking you a question at the end of like, g'day, mate. You know what I mean? They up it.
So I'm
but I can't do the accent. I just know they always have that little flip at the end.
I saw a TikTok today where I think it said to ask a British person to say squirrel. Mm-hmm. And because like they like say squirrel, like
squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, squirrel. My gosh. The cutest.
Pauline Parker is born May 26th, 1938 in Christchurch, New Zealand. She's the second daughter to a working class family, just your kind of everyday average New Zealand family at the time. At 5 years old, she's hospitalized with osteomyelitis,
okay,
which is a bone marrow infection causing inflammation and swelling and obviously a lot of pain to her bones. She survives years of painful treatment, but the kind of side effect of that is like a lifelong leg pain, which excuses her from physical activities at school. So who's really winning here?
Oh, thank God. I'm so glad you said it, because I'm like, sounds like.
Juliet Holm is born in England, also in 1938. She comes from a very different type of family. Her dad is a world-renowned physicist. So we're talking upper class, highly educated.
What's a physicist? Just like a physical, like a normal doctor? Or is that like science?
Science.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm catching up, guys.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is a physicist. The guys on the Big Bang Theory are physicists.
There we go. Boom. The Big Bang Theory. That's it. Ding, ding, ding.
Big Bang Theory, they're ding, physicists. Ding,
ding. Okay. I know I really like Neil. What is it, deGrasse?
I feel like he might be other things, too. Yeah. I feel like he's a jack of all like, science trades.
He's way, yeah, he's
but for sure, Big Bang like Theory are physicists.
That, thank you. Love it.
I don't know what they study.
Doesn't matter.
Atoms?
Nope.
Is that a thing that you study?
Don't know. Mm-mm. Too much. Too much.
Okay. Now, Juliet is also hospitalized as a child with tuberculosis, which is basically like a kind of like a bad lung infection. So her dad moves her kind of back and forth between South Africa and the Caribbean, hoping that like the warmer climates help her like health and lung condition.
How considerate.
At 13 years old, her dad accepts a job at a university in Christchurch and they move to New Zealand.
Okay.
Notes for this week's podcast are in my son's school notebook, so we'll have to make sure to return that to him in time for school on Monday.
Perfect. No big deal.
No big deal. Pauline and Juliet meet at Christchurch Girls High School and become instant besties. They bond over their, you know, respective illnesses as children and spending time in hospitals while they both sit out PEs because neither one of them can participate. Listen, two best friends sitting out of PE and just talking.
I envisioned throughout this whole movie was like our dream.
Yeah, this is the realest shit in the world. Yeah. This is what childhood best friendship is made out of.
Yes.
This is the good shit.
Oh my gosh. What trick did that? So this hits us. So us hiding behind that fucking, what's it called? A ball stop?
Yeah, anything. Hiding behind anything.
At any given time, just hoping that they wouldn't catch us. It's like, yeah, we ran that mile. I don't know where you were looking.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Both girls are very artistic. They're both very talented writers and they have vivid imaginations. I'm assuming that this is probably due to hours spent kind of lonely in a hospital. And this is back in the day, too.
Of course.
It's not like they had fucking TV or tablets or anything fun.
Oh, my gosh.
So together, they start creating this fantasy world just for the two of them. It starts off as stories that they, like, write. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping one day they can grow up and, like, publish them and become famous authors.
Incredible.
Like
the
authors.
Ambition for these teenagers.
Ugh. But this fantasy world slowly starts to turn into their reality. And they spend a lot of time in this world, which they call the fourth world. They give each other new names, Gina and Deborah. And they even make up like their own form of a religion with their favorite celebrities being saints in their religion. And of course, this is all reminding me of episode 39, Tall, Dark, and Faceless.
Incredible.
The Slender Man girls.
I love it.
I love that they're on your past pod news. Yay! Because that's what these girls remind me of a little bit.
Get it.
Now, the parents, their parents start off supportive, right? Like, oh, they found someone like they're each other and they became friends.
Right.
They're starting to get a little worried.
I was just going to ask. I was just going to ask, at what point do you go,
The fantasy world part, I start going, what?
Like when they change. Oh, my.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Juliet ends up in the hospital again for tuberculosis. And both families see this as a good excuse to, like, let the girls get a little bit of a breather.
Mm-hmm.
Spend some time apart. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, we know how that works for teenage girls.
Backfires right in the parents' faces.
Big time.
Because once Juliet's out of the hospital, the girls are more inseparable than ever, and they want to be together 100% of the time. Now, Pauline's parents are worried, so they take her to a psychiatrist who tells the parents that basically the psychiatrist is suspicious of a possible lesbian relationship.
Yeah. And during these times.
Right. So at this time in New Zealand, homosexuality is seen as a mental illness.
Yes.
But also a crime, which feels really fucked up because it means that, like, a mental illness is like something you can't help. But then we're also going to, like,
punish you for it.
A crime to be that way. If you really think about that, that's really fucked up on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
1954, Juliet's parents are getting a divorce.
Okay.
Juliet's dad wants to move her with him back to South Africa. The girls beg to let Pauline come too. And Juliet's dad is kind of open to it, but Pauline already knows it's going to be a hard no from her parents.
Gotcha.
So they need to come up with a solution. And in early June, the girls start to plan Pauline's mom, Honora's murder.
Mm-hmm.
Pauline writes about it, all about it in her diary, saying, quote, "Why could mother not die? Dozens of people are dying all of the time, thousands. So why not mother and father too?" I don't know why she is so obsessed with starting off with her mom. Maybe her mom kind of, as we all know, women sort of rule the household.
I was going to say.
So it's like, if you get rid of the mom, maybe then dad is in so much grief that he just lets you move to South Africa.
Guaranteed. There are hundreds of girls right now writing that same shit in their diary about their mom.
Probably. June 22nd, 1954, or as Pauline calls it, the day of the happy event in her diary, 16-year-old Pauline and 15-year-old Juliet put their plan into motion. The girls ask Honora to take them out for tea and, like, a walk. So they go to Victoria Park to a tea kiosk and they have their tea and then they take a stroll around the park. The girls then lead Honora to an off-beaten path that they had already previously chosen. And when she's not looking, Pauline comes up behind her and bludgeons her mother with a brick inside of a stocking, inside of, like, a nylon that the girls had previously hidden on the path. The girls then take turns beating Honora over 20 times, eventually killing her. They then run back to the tea kiosk covered in blood, screaming for help because their mother fell and hit her head and is non-responsive.
Right.
The police are called in, taken to Honora's body. Clearly more happened than she fell down and hit her head. When you hit somebody with a brick 20 times.
And they're covered in blood.
Covered in blood. The police find the weapon nearby, just discarded in some, I don't know, bushes is what I'm picturing in my head.
I mean, they're ignorant little girls. I don't know what to say. Ugh.
Later that night, searching their rooms, they find Pauline's diary and the girls are arrested the next day.
Yeah.
In the trial, the trial's a media sensation. The diary is read out loud in court where the girls express thrill and excitement at Honora's murder. They write down all the details of what they're planning on doing, even like planning it, scratching it out, like changing their plans, refining, getting it all in there. And Pauline states in her diary that she was, it was like so excited and it felt like planning a surprise party.
Oh my gosh.
The defense has fucking nothing because the girls pretty much both confess.
And they've got the, like, all the evidence.
So they decide to go with insanity plea. But it's hard when both girls, clearly it's like
they know
premeditated. Mm-hmm. The girls have confessed to doing it. How do you convince the jury that both girls are insane
and, if
and
being,
like out of their minds?
And if being gay is a crime, like.
So the defense goes with a folie à deux. Ooh. A folie à deux?
Ooh,
a folie à deux?
A folie à deux.
Which is French, of course, you know, Bailey.
Obviously.
Translates to madness for two or shared madness.
That's cute.
Now,
a folie à deux.
We should rename our podcast
shared
that.
Madness.
This, that should have been our podcast named Folie à deux.
That is cute.
I know. God damn it. Let's go back 3.5 years and redo this whole thing.
110 episodes, team.
Folie à deux would have been really fun.
Wow. Next time on Folie à deux.
Yeah, it's so fun. Anyways, so this is a delusion or mental illness shared by two people in close association with one another.
Yeah.
Side note, if anyone's noticed, the next Joker movie coming out is called Folie à deux.
God damn it.
That's when
they fall for each other.
Harley Quinn will be in that one.
Yeah, and it's Lady Gaga, right? Yeah,
with Joaquin.
Joaquin. I dig it.
Mm-hmm. So now when you guys see the title, Joker, Folie à deux, you'll be like, THC told me what that means.
Obviously.
A shared madness.
Incredible.
Anyway, so that's what they're going with. They're going with the fact that the girls were so close and they had this whole like shared mental illness craziness thing. Plus, there's a possible lesbian relationship, which, as we already mentioned, is seen as like a mental illness. So whatever, the girls denied it then. They deny it now. They say that they were never, ever in a romantic relationship.
I mean, you've already got me sold. Besides our monk tattoo,
Folie à deux
is our BFF tattoo.
That's a really good one. That is a really good one. Put it on the list. We now have two on the, we have three on the list.
Right, we just kill off the husbands and just tat each other up and live our lives happily ever after.
All right. August 28th, 1954, both girls are found guilty of murder and sent to, air quote, detention during Her Majesty's pleasure.
Ooh.
Which basically means that, so it's like a lesser sentence for anybody under the age of 18. We'll reassess once you're adults. That's kind of what that means. After they turn 18, the judge adds a few more years to their sentence. Both girls end up spending about 5.5 years in prison.
How do we feel about this?
I don't know. But they, I mean, they're in separate prisons. I don't know.
Yeah.
They probably could have
I would have done
more time.
I would have done a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But who knows? It's not like they had, like, were they getting any sort of mental health treatment while they were in there? Right. Probably not. It's the 50s.
For sure.
So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
After release, Pauline changes her name to Hillary Nathan and becomes a recluse in England. She becomes a devout Catholic, goes on, has a family, and it is reported, I think her brother talked to somebody, but it's reported that she deeply regrets killing her mom.
Oh, well, that's something.
Juliet, on the other hand, goes on to live her best fucking life. She lives her she lives out her dream. After the 1994 release of the movie Heavenly Creatures, a journalist tracks her down only to find out that she became best-selling crime author Anne Perry. Dozens and dozens and dozens of books this lady's written.
Okay.
And they're like best sellers.
Okay.
She claims she doesn't think about the what murder happened? Much. And she likes, so she gave a quote about how poorly it affected her life.
That's a little terrifying.
She says, quote, "It seems so unfair. Everything I had worked for." Oh, sorry. So this is a quote about after Heavenly. This is the quote she gave after Heavenly Creatures came out when the journalist tracked her down.
Okay.
"It seems so unfair. Everything I had worked to achieve as a decent member of society was threatened. And once again, my life was being interpreted by someone else. It had happened in court when, as a minor, I wasn't allowed to speak and I heard all these lies being told. And now there was a film, but nobody had bothered to talk to me. I knew nothing about it until the day before release. All I could think of was that my life would fall apart and that it might kill my mother. So, poor Juliet. Okay. The girls were never in contact after the trial, and Juliet ends up dying April 10th, 2023, at the age of 84 years old. So we're doing this, we're recording this 3 days after the one-year anniversary of Juliet's death.
Wow, look at that.
There you go. There's your folie à deux.
Wow. What a bizarre episode. I mean, I love it for us.
It's a little wild.
And yeah, this movie is crazy.
Okay, wait. Hear me out on the best friend tattoo. Death moth with folie à deux underneath it.
I mean, that's where?
Oh, wherever you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in the same location. That's not fair because a lot of my real estate's already taken up.
No, obviously, that's...
On our necks. Right on the side of our necks.
Face tattoos. One on...
That's the obvious answer, Bailey.
When in doubt, face tap. Yeah. All right. Heavenly Creatures. Yes. As you mentioned earlier, is of course a Peter Jackson, which you would say he's best known for.
Lord of the Rings.
In my opinion, he's best known for my favorite zombie movie of all time, Dead Alive.
Right.
Zengaya.
I do kind of forget that he's the director of that.
Everybody does.
Yeah, because he's such a prestigious director now that you forget that.
I think he is from New Zealand.
He is definitely from New Zealand.
And I think that's this
definitely
is,
why he probably did this movie.
And this is, yeah. And
he's so from New Zealand and put New Zealand on the, sorry, New Zealand, put New Zealand on the map so much with Lord of the Rings specifically. He's on their currency.
Yeah.
One awesome. Of their bills has fucking Peter Jackson's face on it.
That's dope. I yeah. want a Peter Jackson current.
Currency tattoo?
No. I just want one. Like, I just want, like, I'm not that crazy. Calm down. Calm down. This is no monk. Okay? No. I just want, like, a bill. I think it would be cool to have.
Well, we just have to go to New Zealand first.
Because then I would put it with my movie.
Yeah.
With my Dead Alive.
For sure. I feel that. Hey, we have listeners in Australia. It's one of our top countries outside of America.
Incredible.
Our top countries are England, Canada, Australia, South Africa. So if somebody's from New Zealand.
Shout out.
Send us a bill, would you?
And then.
To the address you don't know where to send it to.
And then my mom has, I think, like old school Lord of the Rings hardbacks.
Oh.
Do you want them?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was something like one of the kids would be interested in.
Controversial opinion time. Yeah. I don't like the books very much.
Ooh.
I only like the movies.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Fun. Okay.
I read the first one and I didn't like it. And so I never read the other two, which I already know what you guys are saying. The other two are like, so
stop
much
yelling at me.
The other two are so much better. But you know what? I love the movies. I love what Peter Jackson did with them. I love the interpretation. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Boom.
I'm not much of a fantasy reader.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, fair.
I don't read any other fantasy. I always say Harry Potter. The reason I get into Harry Potter is because you start off with Harry Potter in the human, like the regular human world, and they spoon feed you the fantasy along with Harry. So you learn about it with him.
Sure.
Anytime you airdrop me into a fantasy world, I don't like it.
Okay.
So there you go. There's my hot take.
Well, I'll take the take.
I didn't even like Game of Thrones that much.
Oh, I tried to watch it 3 times.
No, read. I watched it. I didn't like to read it.
Got it. No, Nick gave up on reading it because everyone kept dying. He's like, oh, so the story's about this person. Nope, they died. Oh, so the story's... Nope, they died.
Yeah.
We were on a cruise and he was so mad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, this was supposed to be like my relaxing read. Yeah. And he's like, I'm so depressed. Yeah. Everyone's dying.
I love the show. I didn't like the book.
It took me 3 attempts to get into it before, like, finally it was like the 4th go. Nick was a couple episodes in. I think it was even his like 2nd try watching it. Mm-hmm. And finally something sunk in. And then it was over. But it took me.
Again, I think you like House of Dragons better.
Okay.
Less characters.
Ugh, that helps.
Less things to keep track of.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, I like simplicity.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to it, you guys. Stop yelling at us.
Sorry.
The movie begins with an acknowledgement to Jim. Any idea why it says
for who's Jim?
That's what all it says is for Jim.
Well, it's probably just his buddy or his brother or someone, okay. Friend.
And then there's images of Christchurch City, New Zealand, and it's spring. And I'm like, oh, we're in spring.
Oh, my God.
So it's fun. It's people holding hands and parks and town square. And
does it look like a cute town?
Yeah.
I was going to Google what it looks like.
It is. Absolutely. But then there's a drastic turn. And when we see images of two girls screaming, bleeding, running through the woods. They emerge from bushes where a woman comes out to see what's going on. And together they scream, it's mommy. And she's terribly hurt. I read on the screen, during 1953 and 1954, Pauline Yvonne Parker kept diaries recording her friendship with Juliet Marion Hume. And this is their story.
Mm.
The diary entries are in Pauline's own words. And we get our title card. And then introducing, meaning like this is their first big role.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet.
Mm-hmm.
And Melanie Lynskey.
I don't know who that is.
You do.
You
absolutely do. Because you watched the Pedro Pascal zombie.
Yeah.
She.
The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm. She's in that. She's in like Yellow Jackets. She's the crazy person in 2.5 Men. Like she's in so much shit.
Oh, is she Rose in 2.5 Men?
Yes. Yes.
I did see that when I looked up the little picture. I remember mm-hmm. thinking that's Rose.
Yes. No. And she's like a leader in The Last of Us.
Yes,
like
she is.
A boss bitch.
Community.
Yes. No, she's incredible.
Yeah,
her
she's
range
great.
And her. She's married to someone who's also an actor and their relationship's super cute.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. So two incredible actresses, mm-hmm. both to be introduced and to play these roles.
Yeah. Well, and also in all fairness, Kate Winslet didn't pop off till Titanic and that was 97.
Yeah. So Kate Winslet is Juliet mm-hmm. and Melanie Lewinsky is Pauline. So Pauline is attending Christchurch Girls High School and she's 14. And for whatever reason, like as she's walking up and down the halls, like people are saying hi to her, but she like looks down and she doesn't really interact with anybody. So it's not like people are mean to her. It's like she's purposefully outcasting herself.
Okay.
Like she's a very sulky, moody 14-year-old. Shocking.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Never heard of that before.
Never. Her family runs what seems to be like a bed and bath or like they rent rooms to get by. Right. Because they're like a lower class. And then Juliet's first day at school, she's, like you said, introduced as a doctor's daughter. Like she's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's very much standing out from the rest. And you said that they got divorced. Do you know why they got divorced?
Because her mom had an affair.
And I was going to say.
I just didn't know if it was
important. In the movie, they showed her fucking all of her. Because she's a marriage counselor and she sleeps with all the husbands.
Incredible.
I know.
Do you want to hand me a salt and I'll make us a drink while you talk?
Heck yeah.
Tonight we have, what is this? This is White Claw Vodka Pineapple.
It's delicious.
Of course it is.
Would you prefer to do it with a wild berry or a cherry?
Probably a cherry. Okay. Wild berry and pineapple don't sound the best.
Do you want two?
No, I think one is fine. We'll split it.
Okay. Having traveled the world with her family, Juliet is very affluent and she corrects her French teacher's grammar on the first day, which really amuses Pauline. In art, they get paired together and again, Juliet goes against the assignment and it really makes Pauline kind of giggle. Like she's really kind of catching her eye, right? Like, oh, this girl's different. And like you said, it's PE where they finally sit out together and Juliet notices that Pauline has a scar on her calf. And curious, she asks if she can touch it.
Yeah.
Because she's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, so funny.
And I want to note that like she gives me Amanda Knox vibes. Like she's an odd duck.
Yeah.
She is in a world of her own. She is just like a spacey little just out there. They, of course, bond over their illnesses, right? She suffered the respiratory illness as a child, keeping her in the hospital away from her family. And then eventually they develop what we'll call an intense friendship.
Right.
One day while riding bikes, we see the two go off into the woods. They strip down into their underwear where they dance and they sing and they roll around in the grass. Outside, hidden in the woods, they have a shrine set up for their favorite male musicians.
Up until this point, I was going to be like, it sounds like the scariest movie ever made called The Witch. Have I ever told you about it? Where a bunch of women just take off their clothes and dance in the woods.
Sounds real familiar. It's here that Juliet tells Pauline that she doesn't believe in the Bible and that when she dies, she will transcend to a fourth world.
There we go. There it is.
A heaven without Christians where art and music is celebrated.
Sounds lovely.
It's not bad. That Christmas, Pauline receives a diary from her family. Putting their oddball brains together, they create this fantasy adventure novel that they hope to have published.
Yep.
On a trip with Juliet's family for Easter. Bum, bum,
oh my God, this could have been our Easter episode.
All right. Pauline gets to bond with the family, the younger brother, the parents. They call her Paul. She's referred to as like the foster daughter.
Cute.
So Pauline's like on cloud nine.
Yeah, loves it.
She is eating it up. She's like, oh my God, this is the family I've always wanted. And then,
especially if she's from just like a normal working class family, she's like, oh my God.
But the bomb is kind of dropped when Juliet learns that her dad has to go away on like conference. Mm-hmm. And they're like, but you don't get to go. They're going to leave her behind. Because God forbid she get taken out of school or tag along and burden them.
Okay.
Right? So she's devastated. She's like, all they ever do is just leave me behind.
Okay.
Whether it be in a hospital or yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's got to be hard.
So she's feeling abandoned. So, and Pauline's comforting her and desperate to escape reality. They have this shared visual experience of the fourth world, right? Because okay. We're in the movie now. We get to see what they're seeing.
Okay.
And this shit is so fucking labyrinth.
Yeah.
It is like clay castle. I don't even know how to describe this for you to make you picture this shit. It's insane. And it,
does it look cool?
Like, it looks no! Like I mean, for these girls, I guess. No.
Is it a place you would want to be?
I'm not into this shit. No, I don't want a night and a... No.
Okay.
This is not my vibe.
Okay. Okay.
But they're digging it. They're okay. On cloud nine. Like, this is their fourth world. This is everything, right? This is like when they see themselves as Gina and what?
Deborah.
No, but they call her Deborah.
Okay.
In the movie as Deborah.
All right, Deborah. I'm going to start calling my grandma that. Her name's Deborah. Like Grandma Deborah.
Okay. When given an assignment in school to write an essay about a royal family, Pauline and Juliet both write about their royal family that they created for their novel. For
okay. All right. What the fuck? And that was back when you couldn't fuck around as a student.
No,
they
no.
were like, listen.
Yeah. And then one day Juliet starts to cough up blood. So, of course, she has tuberculosis.
She's got the burk.
And gets sent away for 4 months with no visitors because she's contagious. So the girls are constantly writing letters to each other in which they are in their characters.
Okay.
Okay. The letters are always between Deborah and Gina.
Okay. I did not read about this.
Okay. The letters become really intense and violent.
Violent?
Mm-hmm. The royal couple murder anyone trying to come between them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. One night, a man staying at Pauline's family's house, you know, he's renting a room or whatever, mm-hmm. makes a move on Pauline. Mm-hmm. They get caught. And so he flees and goes to like stay somewhere else. The family makes her feel like a nasty little whore. So then she leaves.
Instead of like a victim.
Yeah. And so she leaves and finds him where she convinces him and they have sex and she loses her virginity. And during that time, she again transcends to the fourth world.
Wow.
Where she pretends that she's like there living her best life. And so like when he finishes, he's like, are you here? Like, yeah. What's happening? Is everything okay?
How weird.
Mm-hmm. Juliet gets released from the clinic. Pauline is, of course, there to take her home. And upon release, their friendship intensifies even more, which we discussed sparks concern for the family.
Yeah. Yes. Rightfully so.
Juliet's dad at this point recommends the psychologist. They address the attachment issues. And obviously the problem has nothing to do with their perfect daughter, Juliet. It's all Pauline.
Mm-hmm.
He suggests that Pauline's relationship is unhealthy. She needs to spend more time with boys, even though when she was spending time with the boy, they made her feel like a whore. So, you know, no mixed signals whatsoever. And because of the time, like we talked about, God forbid she be gay, they would treat her like a fucking leper.
Right.
So, the next Christmas, Pauline's family is all enjoying their time with their new pug puppy. Meanwhile, Pauline sulks in the corner with her new diary.
Yeah.
And she starts to fail in school, so her mom makes her drop out. She gets a job. She and Juliet make plans to run away together, but Pauline doesn't have a passport.
Okay.
Right, Juliet does, because she's been all around the world, mm-hmm. but Pauline's never left Christ Church.
What a name.
Juliet's dad gets dismissed from his job.
I did not hear about that.
Okay, so they decide that they need to move overseas. And the idea of being separated drives the girls crazy.
Yeah.
So the mom suggests that Pauline come stay with them so that they can have as much time together as possible. Pauline's parents are hesitant, of course, because of the attachment, but Pauline has basically completely cut them off at this point, wants nothing to do with them. And then one night they go to the movies. And there's a specific, I think it's like Orson Welles or like a certain guy where they don't like him and he's in the movie and they just get like all hot and bothered and they're running home. And the two girls go back to Juliet's place and Pauline gets the guts to like make a move.
Whoa. Okay.
She kisses Juliet. And then the two, again, transcend into
the fourth world.
And they have a fucking orgy. They have a fucking clay.
With who?
All the clay. People.
This is the real fourth kind right
now. Yes. Oh, my gosh. And this is what they describe as heavenly.
Yeah, I bet.
So I'm like, is this our heavenly creatures?
It has to be.
All these orgy
the
men.
The orgy men.
Refusing to be separated, Pauline reveals her plan to Juliet to kill her mother. and they stage it as an accident because, people die every day.
Of course, especially when they fall down and hit their head 20 times on a rock.
Obviously.
Get up and fall back down.
Clearly. So only the bravest are willing to fight all obstacles in the pursuit of happiness. Mm. Dressed in all black in the middle of the night, the two girls hold hands as they burn evidence that they think might lead to the crime.
Well, they're smarter than the real girls.
Did they burn the diaries?
No, of course not. Well, because the real ones didn't do shit.
No, they burned their stupid little shrines. And did they burn the diaries? No! Back up. Home, Pauline is the perfect daughter, the one that her mother would always want her to be, right? She's talking, she's helping, she's part of the family. Mm.
So what you're telling me is that if a teenager is doing that, it's a red flag.
She's
going to
sound the alarms because this is when they convince her to that fucking tea, mm-hmm. right? So on June 23rd, 1954, Juliet arrives at Pauline's house with a brick wrapped in newspaper that they transfer to the stocking.
Okay. Also, high quality stockings back then.
Right? For real, though. Right? You know what's fucked up?
I mean, there's a lot here. Yeah.
I don't know. They're at their little tea, right? And they're eating their little finger sandwiches, and there's one left. Mm-hmm. And the girls are like, you should really treat yourself.
To Nora?
Yes. Like, you should. I'm fucking cunts. Oh, my God. I'm so mad.
Also, what are we talking about here? Fucking cucumber, mayonnaise, and bread?
Doesn't matter, right? It's
you
like...
You girls have it.
She's like, oh, I shouldn't. And they're like, oh, no, really? You really? Like, you should. God, ugh. And then they suggest the walk in the park where they follow a path, takes them deep into a woods that's secluded from anyone seeing. Juliet drops a jewel to catch Pauline's mom's attention. And so when she reaches down to pick it up, Pauline comes up from behind and smashes her head in with the brick.
God, I just can't imagine.
It takes more force than either of the girls were prepared for.
Okay.
Right. And so that's it. The last time we see them, it's in a vision that they share that they're at a dock and Juliet is with her family on a boat being taken away and mm-hmm. Pauline's on the dock, you know, separated from her. And I'm like, so laughing to my, I'm like, no, don't go on the boat. Don't go on the boat, Juliet. It's not going to end.
So funny. Really funny.
Thank you. And then the movie ends with these notes. Within hours of searching the Reaper residence, police found the diaries. Dummies. Pauline is immediately...
All the things did not burn. Oh, my God. You mean the diary said, I can't wait to kill my mom, signed Pauline?
It's not funny, you guys. We're not laughing.
It happened a long time ago.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, Pauline's arrested. Juliet's arrested the following day. It was discovered after the death that Pauline's parents were never married.
Yes. I didn't think this mattered.
Hey, yeah. My favorite part of the podcast.
That's why she's known as Pauline Parker and not Pauline Reaper.
Mm-hmm. Which would have been better. I mean, she's the murderer.
Yeah, she's the Reaper.
In August of 1954, a plea of insanity was rejected and they were both found guilty of murder. Too young for the death penalty... They were sent to separate prisons. Juliet released 5 years later in November of 1959, immediately joins her mom overseas to apparently live her best life, like you said.
Yeah.
And then Pauline was released a few weeks later, but remained in New Zealand because... I guess it was a condition upon release that they could never see each other ever again.
That was a rumor. We don't know if that's true or not.
Okay. And then you can't tell because my ink's apparently not that good. But this is kind of the look, the two girls standing by the bonfire.
Yeah, all I see is a fire.
Exactly. So there.
Oh, I see them holding hands.
And so I figured it could be the two of us dressed in black standing in front of your fireplace holding hands or holding Violet's diary.
That is a diary.
Right? Yeah. I thought that would be cute.
Did she hide the key from you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because I couldn't possibly know where. But yeah.
So God, I would just want to know what's in that diary so bad. Like, what does a 7-year-old think about?
Oh, it's drawings.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's for sure drawings. Yeah. No, if she's mad at me, it's getting slipped under a door.
Oh.
Or taped to her door.
Oh.
Like, you read this before you think about knocking or coming in this room.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I yelled at her this morning for not using words. Uh-huh. I'm like, if you don't tell me that you need space and I'm talking to you and you're just not responding, I'm going to raise my voice. Mm-hmm. You can respond and let me know this is too much. I need space. And then I know how you're feeling.
Okay.
And so she goes and narcs and tells Nick like awful things. That yeah. He's like, you're I'm not, worst. He's like, I'm not going to tell you what she said. But just know, and I'm like, oh, I know. Believe yeah, me, funny. I can only imagine what she said. And he's like, but I got your back. I told her to fucking slow her roll.
Yeah.
And then we talked about it. I'm like, if I don't know how you're feeling, how do I know that you need space? And she's like, I know.
Did she ever do that in reverse? Will she like narc on Nick to you?
His is different. His is like, Dad took me to the gas station and got me talkies.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. It's not like, Dad's a dick and yeah. I want him to die.
Yeah. Like, that'll come later.
Yeah. So, you know.
Okay. Fun. Good times. It was so refreshing for me because so far in my parenting journey, mine and Lou's, 11's been the hardest age. 11's been... And my kids are pretty easy on me for the most part. Mm-hmm. But 11 was hard with my oldest. 11's proving hard with my middle. And it's just different. It's not like we're not getting into screaming matches. He's not failing school. Nobody's doing drugs. It's just like the attitude, the moroseness, the like, you know, the martyrdom of it all. Kai was that way. Wyatt is that way right now. And so I'm sure I said no to something and Wyatt pouted and went to his room pouting. And Kai came out and she was like, what's wrong with him? I'm like, you know how you it know. Is.
Yeah.
Well, you know how it is. I'm the worst. He has it so bad. And she's like, oh, I know. He's so abused. He's so neglected. I'm like, exactly.
Bitch, you've been here.
No, I know. And then yeah. She goes, don't worry, Mom. She's like, I was that way. He'll grow out of it. She's like, he'll grow out of it and he'll realize how cool you guys are and how good he has it. And I'm like,
girls are the best.
Thank you so much. I'm all, yes, correct.
I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah, 11's rough for any of the parents who aren't to 11 yet.
I do have a parent win story.
Yes, I love wins.
Okay. So, Violet got her ears pierced.
Yes.
Why did Violet get her ears pierced?
Because she took the training wheels off her bike.
She finally learned how to ride a bike. Does she love it? She fucking thrives.
Yes.
She loves it so much every day.
A queen.
Every day. So now, because of it, the other kids are coming out.
Yeah.
The little recluse kids at the end of the street. Mm-hmm. One she goes to school with.
Right.
Like, God forbid they hang out together.
Right.
And then the other two that live across the street from that kid. So we've got like this little bike gang going on. And our new neighbors even mentioned like, oh, yeah. So all it took was your kid learning how to ride a bike to actually make this street become a neighborhood. And Nick was like, oh, my God. Oh, I've never been. Dream. You know, he's like, I've never been so proud.
That's so funny.
God somebody noticed. because it even like makes the weird ass fucking parents come out.
Yeah.
Like they're still awkward as fuck. Mm-hmm. We're like, yeah, you know, we can hang out because of the kids or whatever. But it's just so refreshing to like have life.
Yeah.
I'm like, one has a golden retriever and one has a poodle. Missing
since I moved.
Yes.
Because I'm like, my kids used to be out there doing all kinds of shit.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's been no inspiration to make it happen. Yeah. It took the life of our kid to be like.
How great.
Mm-hmm.
What a dream.
And I'm like, who would have thought our kid be the one to spark life in anybody?
No, she's doing great. How exciting.
No, she is. She's doing great. But it's like, oh. And the whole thing, break it down for you guys real quick. We bribed her with everything. Everything. I'm like, why wouldn't you want to learn how to ride your bike so that we can go get Mexican food?
Yeah.
You love Mexican food or ice cream, farmer's market. Like the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
And she, no, none of that. And then her best friend at school got her ears pierced. Mm. And she found out how expensive it was.
Where you go to an actual piercer is expensive.
No.
$75 an ear.
It cost, and that's just the piercing, not the jewelry.
That's not the jewelry.
Yeah, cost dad so much money because I didn't pay for shit. I'm like, if it was up to me, I'm taking her to Claire's. I don't give a fuck.
He made the responsible choice.
Yeah, of course he did.
But it is expensive.
It's stupid. They're ears. They're lobes. It's not a real piercing. If she was getting like cartilage or like an inner pierce, sure. I could have done it with a fucking needle and a potato.
Literally.
It's so dumb. So yeah, he's like, not my baby.
Yeah.
No, we need it. I'm like, perfect. Go drop the money on the fuck. And go. She picks the sparkliest ones.
Yeah, of course.
That are so expensive.
Good for her. Yeah. As she should.
Yeah.
She should.
That was it. That's what it took to get those fucking training wheels off.
It was so funny. I told Lou, I showed him the picture. I'm like, look what Vi's got. I'm all, Zoe's going to see that. It's going to be up next. And so then I wasn't there when they saw each other for the first time. But I asked Lou, I'm like, how'd it go?
Zoe didn't care at all.
Yeah. Zoe was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, no, great.
To be fair,
because I thought for sure she was going to ask to have hers done.
No, the best part was she was all like, yeah, I already know.
What? I didn't tell her.
No, I know, because she thought it was just Violet trying to show off her bike.
Oh.
She didn't even notice the earrings. And then she was like.
Because I showed her the video of her riding her bike.
Exactly. No, that's why she was so like interested in that. Yeah. She didn't even care. She was like, oh, cool. Like, let's go.
Let's go ride bikes.
That was it.
Yeah.
And then they played in a great.
Yeah, I know. That's what Lou told me.
And did he also tell you your fucking kid hit me with the baseball?
Well, I mean.
It was a graze.
I know. And it also, you knew what you were excited for. No,
he was so proud of me. I took it better than any of those fucking.
Of course. Yeah.
That's all. I told you. I got so many compliments the whole time. They were like, oh, they would have jumped. Or, oh, and I'm just standing there and I'm like.
Yeah. I told you, we're getting our asses handed to us in Little League right now. Those kids are scared of the ball. Yeah. Not my son.
No.
But there are kids out there who are. But jumping out.
Clearly, I got hit by the ball, so I'm not scared of the ball because I'm like, oh, that happened.
There's this one kid who is so sweet and wants to pitch so bad, and he walked the entire lineup. And it's like, it's just Little League. You can't rain on their parade. The fact that he has the heart to show up and do it again and want to do it is something to encourage.
Amen.
But you did have to sit there as a parent and watch the whole other team get walked.
Yeah.
And the problem with getting walked is they're not hitting the ball. So like, at least like if you get it to where they hit the ball, now we have a chance to field it, right? Yeah. Somebody could catch it. Somebody could throw somebody out at a base. There's like action happening.
Yeah.
But when all we're doing is walking, it's literally just one score after another walking across the fucking home plate. But it's just Little League, and he's got the heart for it, and bless his heart, he's like, put me in there, coach, I'm ready. And we're like, okay, let's do it.
I love that.
Because if my son, who does have the skill to pitch, if that were to happen to him, he would quit baseball. He has the opposite problem. He's got the skill, no heart. Like, if that were to happen to him, he's done.
Yeah.
He would be so embarrassed and so upset with himself for no reason, because it is not that big of a deal.
It would be me. I would do the same thing.
Yeah, he would just quit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So bless that kid's heart.
I'm like, nothing's worth this kind of shame. Yeah. I might as well just not do it.
So, you know.
I feel that.
We'll see what happens.
I know.
What a year.
I've got a lipstick update.
Ooh, okay.
So I confirmed that I have the NYX. It's like an XX lingerie matte, whatever. Mm-hmm. So for that one, it feels the best. Uh-huh. It's not drying. It does transfer a little bit, but it's like the most comfortable, and it wears, I don't know, maybe 4 hours.
Yeah.
But to be fair, all I do at that point is drink coffee. That's all I'm doing. I'm not eating anything. I'm not like doing anything else.
Okay.
Then I got myself the Maybelline matte stain, whatever ink, whatever. That one definitely lasts longer.
Yes.
I still get butthole mouth.
How?
I think it's just my lips.
What are you doing wrong?
I think I just have really dry lips. Because it's just like this part just goes away.
Okay.
But if I add a little bit of gloss or like a little bit of chapstick, it will come back to life. Like it blends well enough. Like you can revive it, which is nice. But it is also much drier.
Yeah. That's just part of wearing lipstick.
I know.
You got to get used to it.
I know.
And I will.
And it does not transfer.
No. So like right now I'm wearing both.
Yeah.
My undershade is that Maybelline one because it's like a darker, more burgundy shade. And then I got the NYX in like a bright cherry red that I put over it. The NYX does not last as long as the Maybelline. The Maybelline one lasts way longer.
Yeah.
Way better.
Oh, I'm gonna mix mine.
Yeah.
Fun. I didn't even think to do that.
Yeah.
I did get colors that would complement each other.
So yeah, the NYX does come off quicker than the Maybelline though.
But it feels... really, considering what you get for it, for the price and how it wears.
It's like, what do you have to do? Reapply? We'll all survive it.
No, it feels nice. It's a nice wear.
But also, here's the thing about us true blue lipstick wearers. You just have to get over this idea of shit feeling nice on your lips.
No, I know.
Like, I don't feel mine at all.
But that's why I want to try the stain. So, I have one coming. I hoped it would come in time. It gets delivered tomorrow.
That's fine.
Of course.
But, like, look, mine doesn't transfer at all.
Yeah. No, the...
But it... I don't feel it, but it doesn't feel... Like, people always want something that feels creamy or glossy or whatever.
I don't expect that. I just... It's the butthole lip for me. And that's because of my lips. I'm sure of it. But, like, I don't have anything to exfoliate because, like, they're already there. Like, they're at that level where it's, like, they're about to just chap. So it's, like... I can't exfoliate them. All I can do is hydrate them, but you can't hydrate them and then put on a matte lip.
It's true.
That's a me thing. So that's what I'm saying. It's nice that it's a matte that you can revive. Because back in the day, my mom used this type of matte permanent lipstick or whatever, and that shit would crack. Yeah. If you tried to revive it, it would ball up and it would flake and it was just a nightmare.
I do have in my station at the salon also Maybelline, their vinyl gloss, which is a gloss that has the least amount of transfer of a gloss I've ever found.
Yeah.
Of course, there's still transfer.
I have a vinyl gloss. Yeah.
But I have like a kind of like a dark brown one.
Okay.
So if I am doing something crazy, like... if I'm eating something really crazy or something happens with my lipstick where it takes a left on me at work, I just put that on. And that is a foolproof
way to
like blend it out.
We're talking bottom dollar drugstore.
But I mean, great.
That's what I'm getting
at. If you want a more expensive option, I will die by the Fenty one. Their liquid lip feels good. You don't feel it on your lips at all. Yeah. And it zero transfer, lasts all day. But a good drugstore version is the Maybelline.
Yeah.
Was it like liquid ink?
Yeah.
Matte?
And now, again, these are all the mattes because there are glossy versions.
No, you have to have the matte.
Absolutely.
So everyone talks about Taylor Swift's lips.
Red.
Her lips don't smudge. They don't move. She wears a cherry red lip. She makes out with Travis. It's not all over the place. Everyone wants to know what she wears. The rumor is that she
except wears there was pictures of her
a smidge, but still
like they
compare it to like
to be fair, regular... I think there was more on him than there was on her.
And like compare it to a regular lipstick, yeah, which would have been a mess. Yeah. The rumor is that she wears Pat McGrath liquid lipstick. And I see everyone on TikTok buying Pat McGrath regular lipstick and then being shocked or upset when there's a lot of transfer or a lot of smudging. And I just want
there's a difference
to let all of the people who don't wear lipstick a lot know that there is a difference between a regular lipstick and a matte like lipstick, like a liquid lipstick matte. That's what's not going
to
transfer.
Regular lipstick feels great. You have to apply that shit after everything. You have to carry that with you.
And be prepared that's like for it a to chapstick. Get everywhere.
It's a chapstick. It's a tinted chapstick.
There are some girls out there like myself who wear lipstick every day, all day. It does not smudge. It does not run. It does not transfer. And that is always, I guarantee you, a liquid matte lipstick.
So yes.
So there you go.
And I am confirming, and this is from a crusty, dusty, butthole lippy girly.
Yeah.
Because so this shit blows my mind. How is it? It's definitely the NYX, because like I said, the Maybelline does not transfer when I drink my coffee. The NYX does. It leaves a lip.
Okay.
When I drink my coffee, you run that shit through a dishwasher.
Doesn't come out.
Blows my fucking. I'm like, you'll come off my lip, but you'll survive a dishwasher. Yeah. Blows my fucking mind.
I know. I don't have an answer for that.
No. Or like my straws on my little water cup pisses me off.
But to get it off my lips, I need.
Impossible.
I need like oil.
Right.
I have to use like baby oil or micellar oil.
And that's another thing. So what's the worst case scenario is I'm not wearing anything too crazy. So when I wear a red lip, I usually tend to wear like a lipstick that I will reapply just because it's way too drying with the butthole lip. Mm-hmm. So what I do is more like a mauve. Mm-hmm. So by the end of the day, it will kind of leave like a lip liner.
Okay.
And then I'm just adding like a clear chapstick or whatever. And
see, all of this is way too much thought into my lipstick. I want to put it on in the morning and leave it alone. And
I wish. So fingers crossed. Stain coming.
I'm excited for the stain.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Amazon reviews were good, so I'm sure I'll hate it. Right?
Way to think positively.
Oh, because that's always been my thing. Wow. Wow.
Well, we'll hear about it next episode. Okay. I can't wait to hear all about it. You'll try it, and if you like it, I'll get some too for my days off.
There you go.
Fantastic. Anything else?
No. I think we did it.
All right. To see pictures of this week's blow.
A bestie blow.
A bestie blow.
A double handy.
Okay. That's for the people who pay extra.
If only.
That's our Patreon content.
Go look at us on WikiFeed.
Yeah, that's our Twitter X. Is it X? Is it Twitter? It's X.
Right, just like we've got a P.O. box.
Yeah, for sure. Go to Instagram, THC Podcast. Find pictures there. If you'd like to leave us a review, that'd be great. 5 stars preferable if you can. If you have anything to say to me, slide into my DMs. There's lots of you that I talk to all the time, so feel free to slide in there. I talk to y'all on
any
IG.
Any Bridgerton reviews?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, nope. But lots of movie suggestions. I've had a lot of people.
Those are great. Those are always good.
Movie suggestions.
Always so good. Thanks, we'll guys.
We'll go through those later. And other than that, thanks so much for listening. This ended up being a longer episode than I thought it was going to be.
Fuck, we did it.
Yay.
Hey, high five.
High five. All right. Goodbye, everybody. We love you and we will
see you
next time. Bye.
We're doing it.